Pastor John Randall speaks of the real and significant difference the Holy Spirit makes in our lives.
What a difference the Spirit of God makes. Too many people have never even asked the Lord, baptize me with the power of the Holy Spirit. They've never asked. And the Lord said it's there for the asking. Be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, baptize me with the power of the Holy Spirit? If you haven't, why not? Maybe because you never heard it. Maybe because you didn't know it was available. I'm telling you, on the authority of Scripture, it's available. And it's a blessing, and it's necessary.
Hello again, and welcome to A Daily Walk. God delights in taking a person from the guttermost to the uttermost. And we see an example of that in the first king of Israel. As we open our Bibles to 1 Samuel 9 today, Pastor John Randall draws our attention to the change God brought about in Saul's life. When people saw him, they couldn't believe it was the same guy. Yes, he was a new man with a new heart. And the wonderful thing is, God is still performing life-changing miracles like this today.
So it says in verse 18, then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate, and he said, please tell me, where is the seer's house? Samuel answered Saul, and he said, I'm the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go, and I will tell you all that is in your heart. And then he says this, but as for you, for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, don't be anxious about them. They've been found, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on your father's house? Well, this is odd. He didn't tell this. This is a first meeting. Hey, you know those donkeys you're concerned about? The ones you lost 3 days ago? Yeah, they've been found. How does he know that? God revealed it to him. God revealed it to Samuel. And then he says something very interesting to Saul, which really surprised him. He basically said, he was telling him, listen, God's got a plan for you. God's got his hand on your life. God's calling you to something. And Saul, you'll notice, and I want you to remember this, because Saul was taken back by that. He was really surprised that Samuel said that to him. Because in the very next verse, you'll see here that Saul answered verse 21. He said, am I not a Benjamite, the smallest among the tribes of Israel? My family, the least of all the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you speak to me like this? Saul was humble. God works well with humility, but this is how it started. He started off very humble. When Samuel said, hey, you're the guy, God's got a plan for your life. We're the least tribe. We have the least family. Why would you say that to somebody like me? Saul didn't say, hey, you know, I'm head and shoulders above everybody here. You ever seen a more handsome man? Huh? Check it out. Samuel, where you at, buddy? I feel like a leader. I mean, he did not come in arrogant. He's not thinking anything about himself. He just shows up, and God saw something in Saul that he didn't see in himself. And he used someone who was full of the Spirit, like the prophet Samuel, to recognize that God had a calling on his life. You know, I am very thankful for people that God has used throughout my life who recognized something in me that I did not recognize in myself. And you have people like that who speak into your life, speak truth into your life, God just reveals things to them. And I'm so thankful for that, how God has used those different people. And so here is Saul, surprised by the prophet's words. But then it says in verse 22, now Samuel took Saul and his servant, and he brought them into the hall and had them sit in the place of honor among all those who were invited. There were about 30 persons. Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion which I gave to you, of which I said to you, set it apart. So the cook took up the thigh with the upper part that was set before Saul. And Samuel said, here it is, what was kept back. It was set apart for you. Eat, for until this time it has been kept for you since I said I invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. Saul is ushered into this place of the feast. And as he is seated, you know, maybe he wants to take the lower seat. He takes him right up to the seat of honor. I mean, he just met this guy. What is happening here? And he sits him right in the seat of honor at the feast. And then he gives him the big portion, the primo steak. I mean, he gives it to him. Like, why did I? He said, God, I set this apart. This has been set apart for you. This is set apart for you. I mean, this must have been so strange and surreal for Saul. but it was set aside for him. He had no clue why he was being served such a portion. Again, Saul did not walk in to that area and take the seat of honor for himself. He was actually led to that seat. You remember Jesus told that parable in Luke 14 in the New Testament? He said, when you're invited to a feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, and he who invited you and him come to say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to sit down in the lowest place, but rather go take the lowest place. And then he who invited you will say, friend, go up higher. Then you'll have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Don't just walk in there and assume, hey, is a place of honor? Where is my seat ready? That's so arrogant. He said, instead, just take the lower spot. Be humble. Associate with humble. May God help us not to be so full of ourselves that we think we're something, because the truth of the matter is we're nothing. The same elements that make up the dirt outside make up our bodies. I mean, the Bible says we are dust. So, maybe you have gifts and talents, but at the end of the day, folks, apart from the Lord in us, the treasure and earthen vessel, we're just a vessel and from dust to dust. If there's one thing I know about myself, I'm not all that. And the Lord is good to remind me of that. And my wife is also a blessing in that way to remind me of that. I think it was Martin Luther. He said, every man should have a wife, if for nothing else, to keep him humble. So it's a good reminder. But Saul takes the lower spot. He takes the place of a servant. And I'll tell you something. That's the place that Jesus took. Jesus took the place of a servant. Washed feet. I mean, the king of the universe, the God who created everything, spoke it into existence, came and washed feet. Left us an example. If God takes the lowest spot as a servant, who are we to take the place of honor? Jesus would take the place of a servant. And when Saul in heart and attitude was taking the lower place, that's when God exalted him. That's when God blessed. It was when Saul began to take things for himself that God demoted him and removed him from his position. Well, it says here in verse 25, now when they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on top of the house. And they arose early, and it was about the dawning of the day. Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house, saying, get up, that I may send you on your way. And Saul arose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. And they were going down to the outskirts of the city. And Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to go on ahead of us. And he went on, but you stand here a while, that I may announce to you the word of God. So now Samuel is about to reveal some things to Saul. This has been a very interesting day. What started out as looking for lost donkeys turned into something completely different than what he expected. And now Samuel, I like these words. He says, I want you to, notice this, stand here a while. And I want to announce to you the word of the Lord. You know, the Bible says, be still and know that he is God. Stand here a while. Stop for a second. Quit moving around. Stop being so frantic. Stop what you're doing and be still and let God speak to you. You're so active. You're so mobile. You're so frantic. You're just going in every direction and you're not stopping, and thus you're not hearing. Why isn't God speaking? Because you don't take time to listen. So stop. Just sit. Be still. Know that he is God. Let him speak to you. Stand here a while. Let me say something to you. Let me reveal to you the word of God. I love that. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? Again, super unexpected. I'm going to tell you something. Next thing you know, there's oil coming on his head. He's pouring oil on his head. And I mean, this was like, it wasn't a little drop. This is like, I mean, it was just, he's covered in oil, and then he's kissing him. I mean, this is super, what is happening here? Samuel says, the reason why this is happening is because God has called you to lead. He's called you to lead his inheritance. The oil represented and does represent the work of the Holy Spirit. He was going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's anointed by God. If he, listen, if we're going to lead, we want to be anointed. I want the Spirit of God to be at work in my life. I don't want to lead, try to lead anybody in the flesh. I want the anointing of the Spirit on my life so that I can lead. And here he is being anointed to be the commander. And then he starts to tell him what's going to happen. If that wasn't enough to be anointed privately, he's going to be announced publicly. And he begins to tell them about what's going to take place. He said, when you've departed from me today, you're going to find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they're going to say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys. He's worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then, so here's step two, then you shall go on forward from there. And you're going to come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you. One carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they're going to greet you. They're going to give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it'll happen when you've come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments, a tambourine, a flute, a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Well, okay. I mean, step by step, this is what you're going to happen. First, you're going to go here, and then you're going to get this. And then after that happens, then you're going to get this. And then you're going to run into a band. This band is going to greet you on the way. They got flutes and instruments, and they are playing a song. And then what's going to happen? Verse 6 is powerful. Then the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you, and you will prophesy with them. And listen to this, you will be turned into another man. Oh, how I love that. Here's the direction from the Lord. You walk this path. You follow this direction I'm giving you. You've been anointed with oil. This is what's gonna happen. You walk this path, you're gonna be changed into a different man. Folks, that is what the Holy Spirit does. He changes us into different people. He alters our disposition. This is something only the Holy Spirit can do. We can make self-reform. We can change this, or we can work on that and try to be this. But the Spirit of God changes us from the inside out. I mean, he transforms us on the inside, and it makes its way to the outside. I guarantee you, and I've talked to many of you in this room tonight, I know some of your stories. And some of your stories, you, me, we were different people. We're not the same people. We are completely different. Last night at the men's study, we're gathered, we're having tacos. It was great. Going through the 70 weeks of Daniel in 25 minutes, but we were out there having tacos, and I'm sitting at a table. And I'm sitting at a table with a police officer. And right next to us is a brother who's been radically saved, born again, who did time in jail. And we're just sitting there having tacos. I mean, how does that happen? It's the Holy Spirit. I mean, how do you get these people all together in one spot? I mean, we're all from different places, and here we are just at fellowship at the table with one another because of the cross of Christ. The Lord has changed us into different men. It's powerful. And here, if Saul would walk this road, he was going to be changed. He was going to prophesy, speak the word of God, turn into another man. And so verse 7, and let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. Saul, as you walk this out, I know this is different. I mean, I know you've never experienced this before. I mean, this is new territory. You thought you were going to get donkeys? Not exactly. There's going to be something completely different happening in your life. And you walk this out, the Spirit of God's going to come upon you. You're going to prophesy. And when that happens, you just go with it. Just go with it. This, in other words, it's almost as if Samuel's saying, this is the Lord. Don't doubt it. This is something God's doing, not you. And sometimes we doubt the work of the Spirit, don't we? We question, that can't be the Lord. That's not the Lord. That's me. No, it's not you. Just go with it. This is the Spirit of God leading you. You didn't line this up. You couldn't have. This is God. You didn't ask for this. This is not something you put on an application and God. This is just all him. And when it happens, just go with it. And so what happens? Finds out God's with him. Verse 8, almost through. You're going to go down from me to Gilgal, and surely I'm going to come down to you and offer burnt offerings, make sacrifices and peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you. and show you what you should do. So he's basically, they've done the private anointing. He's now sending him to a place where they're going to do the public announcement. So you go down there, anointed by the Spirit, prophesying. When you get there, I'm going to show up 7 days later. And then the public announcement, we're going to introduce you to the nation as the next king, or the first king, really, of Israel. Well, it says, so it was when he had turned back from Samuel that God gave him another heart. Oh, amen. God gave him another heart. And those signs came to pass that day. And when they came to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he began to prophesy among them. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, the people said to one another, "What is this that's come upon the son of Kish? Is this Saul? Is he also among the prophets?" Then a man from there answered and said, "But who is their father?" Therefore, it became a proverb, "Is Saul among the prophets?" And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. It happened just like Samuel said. Guys, the anointing of the Spirit of God was a rarity in the Old Testament. There were few people who were anointed with the Spirit of God. Sometimes prophets, sometimes kings, sometimes judges. So the Spirit of God came upon them. The Spirit of God came upon them. It was a rarity. However, in the New Testament, guys, the Spirit of God is available to every single person. The anointing of the Spirit of God, the book of Acts, it says the Spirit of God came upon them on the day of Pentecost. And the gifts of the Spirit were imparted to them. The Spirit was with them. The Spirit was in them. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came upon them. Guys, listen, the Spirit is in us. The Spirit is with us. And the Spirit desires to come upon us. Not just how much of the Holy Spirit do I have, but how much of me does the Holy Spirit have? He wants to take control of my life. He wants to come upon you. He wants to empower you. I can tell you the day that my life radically changed, the day that the Spirit of God came upon my life, and it was no longer me trying to live the Christian life in the flesh. It was the Spirit of God empowering me to live the Christian life. Before that, it was just me doing my best on my own. But the day the Spirit of God came upon me, everything changed. No, I wasn't perfect, and I still failed, but I had the power to overcome the flesh, where before I was a captive to the flesh. What a difference the Spirit of God makes. Too many people have never even asked the Lord, "Baptize me with the power of the Holy Spirit." They've never asked. And the Lord said, it's there for the asking. Be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever asked the Lord, "Lord, baptize me with the power of the Holy Spirit"? If you haven't, why not? Maybe because you never heard it. Maybe because you didn't know it was available. I'm telling you, on the authority of Scripture, it's available. And it's a blessing, and it's necessary to live the Christian life. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit. And so here's Saul, man, changed into a new man. And not only was he a new man, he was given a new heart. And now he's prophesying. And this is classic to me, because everybody that sees him, they can't believe it. They see the change. Is that the same guy? Have you ever had that experience? Run into somebody you haven't seen for a very long time, and they see you, you're different. You're totally transformed. They knew you before you were who you are, and they're in shock. What, you do what? You're a what? In a church? People come? That's crazy. I know it. I mean, I can't believe it. There's no way. Do they know about you? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm a sinner, like the rest of them. I mean, it's just one of those things. People, they see the change. It's something the Spirit of God does. New man, new heart, a new person. And people looked on, and they were in shock what had happened. And that's something the Lord does. Well, it says in verse 14, "Then Saul's uncle said to him, his servant, 'Where did you go?' And he said, 'To look for the donkeys.' When he saw that they were to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, 'Tell me, please, what Samuel said to you.' So Saul said to his uncle, 'He told us plainly that the donkeys have been found. But about the matter of the kingdom, he did not tell him what Samuel had said.'" I think we're going to find out Saul was a little shocked by what he was called to do. So family says, "Hey, you saw Samuel. What did he say?" "Just told me the donkeys have been found, pretty much. That was it. Just found the donkeys." "Oh, okay. Great. I didn't tell him." Maybe he's a little nervous, a little fearful. You know, when God's doing a work in your life, sometimes it's like, "Oh, where you went to church?" "Yeah, well, you know, I checked it out. You know, what happened?" you know, I just, people were there singing and stuff. I mean, you just don't want to be forthcoming about what is really going on here. Come on, tell them. Tell them what happened. Well, I was anointed by the Spirit. I met a band. I, you know, prophesied. I was given a new heart. It was great. I mean, he didn't say that, but here he goes on. The word's going to get out. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah, and the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms and from those who oppressed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversities and your tribulations, and you've said to him, no, set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Then he caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families. The family of Matri was chosen, and Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Verse 22, therefore they inquired of the Lord further, has the man come here yet? And the Lord answered, there he is, hidden among the equipment. Whoops. What happened? He's hiding in the equipment. I mean, I just like to see this. Like, he's underneath it? What do you mean hiding in the equipment? Is he like wearing it and like pretending like he doesn't, nobody knows who he is? He's hiding in the equipment. The next king of Israel. Bring him up. Where is he? He's hiding. Awesome. What a great leader. You know, I mean, this, the people are, I don't know why he was hiding. I think he was afraid, pretty much. And sometimes we can be fearful of what God is calling us to because there's a price to be paid. There's a sacrifice involved. And it's a little intimidating. I mean, being called into something I've never been called into. I don't know that I'm doubting myself. Maybe you say, I don't know that I'm really cut out for that. I'm fine. Hey, you got donkeys that are lost? I'm not very good at finding them, but I will be happy to do that. But lead a nation? That's crazy. And he's hiding. But the Lord knew where he was. He said, he's over there in the equipment. Get him. Bring him over here. And so it says in verse 23, so they ran and they brought him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is none like him among all the people? So all the people shouted, long live the king. And then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book, laid it before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his own house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, verse 26, and valiant men went with him whose hearts God had touched.
Pastor John Randall on A Daily Walk. Would you like to hear the study again or maybe share it with someone you know? You can purchase a CD copy for a cost of just $5. Call us right now toll-free at 888-253-1280. That's 888-253-1280. Or listen online if that's preferred. We're at adailywalk.org. And download our church app while you're at it. This is another great and convenient way to listen to Pastor John's teachings. Do a search for CCSJC in your favorite app store. You're familiar with Pastor John Randall's teaching ministry here on A Daily Walk, but maybe you didn't realize the Lord has also gifted him musically. And not long ago, he went in a studio to record a 5-song worship EP called Joy.
You give me joy down deep. My soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
The joy of the Lord is the gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit.
I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe.
You can order the Joy EP on CD through our website for just $5 at adailywalk.org or call 888-253-1280. That's adailywalk.org or 888-253-1280. And anything given above that amount will serve to help us continue the ministry of A Daily Walk on this station and others like it. We hope and pray the Lord is exalted and you're encouraged as you sing along and worship with Pastor John Randall. A Daily Walk is made possible through the generosity of listeners just like you. We want this ministry to bring the Lord glory and help as many people as possible in their daily walk. You can stand with us through a one-time gift or ongoing support when you visit adailywalk.org. You can also write to A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675. And let me give you our phone number one more time, 888-253-1280. And even if you're not led or in a position to be able to give, we'd still love to hear from you. Keep those letters and emails coming. Share your prayer requests and praise reports at adailywalk@gmail.com. Saul's official coronation. That's coming up next time on A Daily Walk when Pastor John Randall returns to 1 Samuel.